Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much. I want to thank Mason, Mr. Bornozis for inviting me in this great forum. A forum, I would say, that serves as an important bridge between Greece and the global investment community. And if I may add, in this unique point of time, why I'm saying this, because it's a time of international strife, it's a time of persistent uncertainty, it's a time of regional conflict, even threatening to escalate into global crisis, and a time when security is actually harder to find than ever, and even worse, the true leadership at the global scale is desperately needed. I would say security and leadership, these two things we need the most to help us navigate through these different difficult times. Speaking about the energy, Greece has achieved significant things in the energy sector that seemed almost impossible just a few years ago. And allow me to say that these achievements didn't happen overnight. They required strong commitment from our government, and they required as well significant investments in the energy sector. We actually estimate the capex deployed in major projects within the Greek market to around 18 billion euro over the past 10 years. Let's say 7 billion to renewables, 2.5 in oil refineries, 2.9 in power transmission, 2.1 investments in power grid infrastructure. And this is number is without accounting for investments in smaller and medium-sized projects. So I will repeat that Greece has achieved significant progress in the energy sector. And Greece is working to set a paradigm in a European and global environment that is full of challenges. What are these challenges? Let me briefly name a few of them. First, we face geopolitical tensions and conflicts such as the war in Ukraine, tensions in the Middle East. You understand that both are vital regions for global energy supply. They have increased costs as we speak about energy. They have disrupted supply chains. They have raised concerns about stability. And another reality is that global gas markets are tightening today. They are driving up costs for Europe. With the winter expected to be colder than the last two. Europe has also increased the imports of LNG, especially from the United States, but Europe has no other option. It needs LNG for more than ever this winter. So as a result, what we see is that Europe is importing more LNG and paying higher prices for it. And there are also uncertainties about how much gas will come through the Russian pipeline after January 1st if the transit contract between Russia and Ukraine is not renewed. Speaking about prices, the second common challenge I would like to mention is that energy prices remain a serious challenge. While Europe leads in renewable energy, we still face high prices and volatility. In 2024, European gas prices were nearly five times higher than those in the United States, and industrial electricity prices were about 2.5 times higher. And we understand that this gap is mainly due to Europe's reliance on imported fossil fuels, unlike US, which exports energy. But these numbers highlight the harsh reality for businesses in Europe, How can businesses, especially energy-intensive ones, survive or remain competitive, especially if they are forced to cut capacity because of energy prices? What we also witness within Europe is that we see large price disparities within Europe. In the summer, for example, during July, the hourly electricity price in Hungary, for instance, reached 940 euros per megawatt hour, while in neighboring Austria, it was just 61 euros per megawatt hour. So a 15-fold difference across a single EU border. And this is an issue I'm mentioning. The Greek Prime Minister pushes as well a lot the European Commission to come up with a solution for these energy market distortions. Another point is that everybody recognizes that expanded grid connectivity between countries will lead, obviously, to low-cost decarbonized power system. But the truth is that developing energy infrastructure in Europe is slow, with renewable projects and grid upgrades often taking years to complete. So this lack of sufficient interconnections across Europe remains, I would say, a major challenge, contributing to higher energy prices, contributing to market inefficiencies. And ultimately, there is a question that comes up from consumers. Consumers, the truth is that they still face historic higher bills, right? And politically, we have to give an answer to those people. When are they going to benefit finally from cheaper energy? And then the last point, speaking about challenges, is that Europe lags behind global leaders like US, like China, in clean tech competitiveness. It's true that Europe excels in research, in innovation, but I think it struggles to commercialize these advancements on a large scale. In contrast, we see China moves quickly, keeping manufacturing costs low, controlling supply chains, providing significant government subsidies. And all these factors create a strong environment for investment and growth, an area where Europe needs to focus on. But despite these challenges, allow me to say that Greece has remained focused and has managed remarkable advancements in the energy sector over the past 5 years. What we have achieved first is a significant reduction in greenhouse gas emissions, outpacing, I would say, the European average. Greece's greenhouse emissions are about 0.15% of global emissions. So even if we were to eliminate them all tomorrow, I would say that it would just be a drop in the ocean. But between 2005 and 2022, Greece reduced its total net emissions by 43%, exceeding the European Union-wide reduction of 24%. This progress is largely attributed to a 62% decrease in CO2 emissions from electricity generation. In 2024, lignite provided only about 6% of Greece's electricity. And by 2022, we are committed to phasing out lignite entirely. And at the same time, we have doubled our installed renewable energy capacity since 2018. Today, actually, more than 50% of our electricity comes from renewable sources like photovoltaics and wind energy, with an even higher share when hydropower is included. It's not an exaggeration to say that Greece is now recognized as a global leader integrating solar and wind energy into our grid. By the end of this decade, we aim to generate 75% of our electricity from renewables. By 2035, this will rise to nearly 96%. And to reach these goals, we are also advancing new energy forms, like offshore wind, for example, which is one of our key priorities, with a planned capacity of 1.9 gigawatts by 2032. We are also scaling up biomethane production to 2 terawatt hours by 2030. On top of that, Greece is making a steady move, I would say, in green hydrogen. We aim to produce 1 terawatt hour of green hydrogen, and this will increase 20-fold by 2050. Energy storage is another critical part of our strategy. By 2030, we plan to install 6.2 gigawatts of energy storage capacity. Already, there is an investment system appetite 3 times more than what we need. Interconnections are equally important for Greece. We have an ambitious program. We are building a green energy corridor in Southeast Europe. As you understand, this will connect the energy systems of the southern, northern Mediterranean regions, transforming Greece from an energy importer to a major exporter. The plan is by 2035, Greece to export 3.5 terawatt hours of clean energy. And what we also do beyond renewable energy projects and interconnections is that we are establishing a robust value chain for carbon capture, utilization, and storage. We want to reduce emissions also in hard-to-abate industries. For example, we have the first under-construction carbon storage facility that plans to commence operation in 2027. We adopted, allow me to say, a high level of ambition, but what we do at the same time is to not to abandon realism and pragmatism. So I'm saying this because natural gas obviously remain a part of our energy mix. We will continue to do so for the coming decades. So regarding gas, a notable milestone is the completion of Alexandroupolis FSRU, 360 million investment. The new LNG terminal, it has a maximum regasification capacity of 5.5 BCM per year. It will help reduce dependence on Russian natural gas. It will strengthen energy security in Southeast Europe. Another major project that Greece is promoting is the vertical corridor, where we actually collaborate with 6 other countries, Bulgaria, Romania, Hungary, Slovakia, Moldova, and Ukraine, in order to establish alternative gas supply routes. So 2 key parts of this system are the Revithoussa and the Alexandroupolis LNG terminals. Both terminals, they have a storage capacity of 378,000 cubic meters of LNG. In other words, a regasification capacity of 12.5 BCM per year. And with all these, I would say this makes Greece a central player in strengthening energy security for its neighbors and its and supporting Europe's energy goals. And of course, we do this by supporting in every way possible the investors of our national hydrocarbons resources. We have an ExxonMobil in Greece hoping for positive developments in the coming years. I will finish saying that energy security, when we talk about energy security and when we talk about energy transition, these come unavoidably with very high costs. and significant investments, right? So according to our National Energy and Climate Plan, Greece provides a clear roadmap outlining investments exceeding 436 billion by 2050 in our national energy and climate strategy. As you understand, this creates considerable opportunities for private capital in sectors such as renewables, energy storage, international domestic interconnections, smart grids, electric mobility, and many others. By 2030, we are planning investments at the budget of 95 billion. And we are leveraging as well a number of public financing tools in order to encourage and in order to de-risk the private investments needed. There was a study performed by McKinsey saying that on the socioeconomic, actually, impact of our net zero path by 2050, these investments will contribute 2.5% to our GDP and create and maintain 200,000 jobs for the next 25 years. So in closing, I want to return to the point I made in the beginning. We're a small country with in a big world that desperately needs security and leadership. We are small, but I think we rise to the occasion. We do our part, actually. We lead by the example we set in how climate action can be combined with economic growth. We increase regional energy security by our words, by our deeds, by our partnerships and our projects. And we will remain committed to our goals, but also to our allies and friends that share the same values with us to the very end. Thank you very much. Thank you.